listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And welcome to everyone to this edition of Spirit of Life Service for September 16th, Wednesday, 2015. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here again, and glad to see we have people in the chat room.
Yeah, it's nice to have everybody here. We appreciate you joining us tonight. The Spirit of Life Service is a weekly program and educational service of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which is help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, where we offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and related topics like spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and more. And we also have another school that's in the works, which we'll announce in due time. But we, again, appreciate everyone here with us tonight. Couple of footnotes here about the program. Our speaker that we had scheduled, Dr. Daniels, unfortunately had some personal stuff come up that he couldn't make it. So we're going to carry on that theme of mindfulness, and we're going to call this program Mindful Expansion. And so what we're going to do is something we haven't really done before in the same way. We're going to pull cards from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card deck. And we're going to talk about whatever theme comes up or whatever card comes up. We're going to talk about that, Dr. Hunter and myself. And then she'll pull the first card. And then once we're done with that, we're going to pull another card. And I'll do that. And we'll kind of go back and forth. And we're going to just talk about what comes up. And if anyone has any comments, please, you know, type them in the chat if you're listening to this program live. And later on, if you'd like a card pulled for yourself, just let us know in the chat, and we'll be happy to do that. So, without any further ado,
you know what?
I'm getting ahead of myself. Real quick, I just want to mention our abbreviated principles of belief. I have it up here, and I'm just going to blow right through it. I don't want to do that.
Very important. Important stuff.
All right, so these are available at metaphysicalhumanism.org. They are, number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can view the full version of these principles of belief as well as an expanded discussion at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And Dr. Hunter, I guess I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge our new broadcasting modality.
It's awesome.
The quality is a lot better, and I'm hoping that everybody is hearing this and no problems. We've got a different chat. Chat's easy. You type your name in and go. And if you hadn't typed your name in, you can go over to the right side and click on change username, and it'll put something down in your chat window, and then you just type in your name and it will come up and change it over.
I think the only thing we can't do is phone in here.
Yeah, the only thing we can't do right now is take phone in calls, but We do have a backup plan for that should that ever become necessary. So anyway, it's let us know how it goes. If you have any problems, please put them in the chat so we can see them, because in our tests, it tested out perfectly. And would especially love the archive version, because the music quality is far better. Everything's far better. It's a higher quality broadcast that we're doing here.
We had a great time the other day doing a test version and playing it back, and even we were impressed, so we hope you are too. We're getting little comments in the chat already, that clear reception, very nice.
Good.
So glad to see that, and got a little connectivity issue for Zach there, but he said it's certainly better than he's had in past. So just do a little refresh there, Zach, maybe that'll help you out. So.
And let us know exactly what that will help us to. So,
well, you know what I'm already noticing between you and I is there isn't that little delay in sound where I'm stepping on you all the time. So this is great. I'm excited about this. You know, you had asked me a minute ago before we did the Principles of Belief to draw a card, and I've been sitting here pondering it even as you were reading. This is a pretty big one. Unknowable that I pulled out. It's in the wild card section, and the energy at hand is outside the norm, but the card itself is unknowable. You know, and it's so true that sometimes things are
just...
That's
card number four, by the way.
Yes.
Of the wild cards.
Some things are just unpredictable. You know, I think part of it is that we're always changing the energy frequencies, but we only ever see based on our existing brainwaves, our existing experience, our existing beliefs. So anything that we're going to see, we expect to see through a lens that's familiar. Mm-hmm. So when the pathway starts to change a little bit, say, oh, you know, I didn't expect that. So it's unknowable in a way. You know, something that is really important to do is to listen to the subtleties of intuition when you find yourself in an unknowable space. And so if you listen very carefully, listen. It's just sometimes it's really subtle and kind of use your instincts about how to proceed. Would you agree?
Yes. In fact, that whole card, you know, I mean, you read the face of it and unknowable, and that kind of carries two connotations. I mean, there are certainly some things in the cosmos, in our universe, in our world that are unknowable, at least at the present time, but that doesn't mean they'll always be unknowable. And that's the kind of the point of this card. And you mentioned that we see things through our own lens, and that's true, lens of our own personal beliefs, because, you know, that's belief is the most potent force in the universe. I mean, it's the thing that governs everything with human social relationships. And even our own self-belief or lack thereof, everything is measured. I mean, as has been said before, I can't remember his last name. I'm just pulling a blank. Jack Canfield says you'll never rise above the level of your self-esteem. And it's true. So we view things through that. And if we view things through our own limited beliefs, then it may be unknowable. But if we expand our beliefs, and this is where the mindfulness comes in, mindful expansion. Think of mindful as focusing on what's going on around you. It's another word for a level of awareness. Raise your awareness. Raise your mindfulness and pay attention. And if you see that you have disabling beliefs, work on those, expand those beliefs. And the way that you do that is through education. I mean, education will save the human race.
You know, I think also this plays into sometimes we get into a neutral zone. You know, it's like we're just really unsure, we're uncertain, and we just sit quietly for a moment. And those who have learned to just meditate and go Zen for a sec, in that unknowable moment, the projection of one thought is hugely powerful. Just and so that things become more knowable, if that makes sense, equal and opposite. So in that mindfulness, as you're talking about, there is a learning and an education of just how powerful the mind can be.
Agreed. All right. So are we ready to go on to the next card? I'm just shuffling them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to reach in here. I'm thinking, and I'm pulling a card.
All right.
This card is number 29. And it's in the service to self and others suit. And it says, you know, it's actually card number 28. I was not seeing that right. It's do no harm, do right.
Oh, in mindfulness, that's huge.
Well, it is. Gosh, that just fits in so well, because if we're mindful or we have higher awareness of what's going on around us with other people, with ourselves, we're going to be more apt to do no harm and to do the right thing.
You know, I think that if there could be a distinction here that we could clarify a bit between just doing a nice thing or a good thing versus the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing doesn't always make us popular because it can go against the grain. So maybe defining a little bit, what is the right thing? What is it to do the right thing?
That's a good question. You know, sometimes, I mean, we all kind of probably have our own ideas on this, but so often we get to a point in life where it's better to do the kind thing instead of the quote right thing, unquote. You know, and what I'm trying to talk about here is human compassion. Sometimes people need our compassion the most when they deserve it the least. That's not mine. That's been stated before. And so sometimes, rather than do what we normally might do and would probably be justified, perhaps we can do the kind thing. And
well, you know, there's a question in the chat. Can one do right and still do harm? I think that's a subjective experience, because if you're doing the right thing and it upsets somebody, they could feel like you're doing harm, but it's still the right thing. And I'll tell you, I've encountered a lot of situations in my life where I really was not popular. I mean, I knew a woman who suspected that her child was being abused on weekends with dad, and she was not doing anything because she liked free time. So, you know, I did. I took the step because now I'm responsible with information. Doing the right thing is the protection of the child, and I called it in. Now, she wouldn't talk to me again after that, and is that doing harm? I guess it depends from what vantage point, you know, what position are you seeing it from? And there's many other situations where it's doing the right thing. I once picked up a poor guy who was so inebriated under a truck, and it was freezing cold out, and I brought him into this hotel lobby, and everybody there said he can't be here. And I said, well, I'm waiting with him until the police come. I'm going to make sure that he's okay. Now, it upset everybody else, but it's doing the right thing. So I suppose there are situations where, we could take other examples where is that doing harm? Of course somebody thinks that's doing harm because they don't like it. And in my view, that's too bad. I just have to live with myself. Now, of course, what Dr. Kelly's just said, sometimes the right thing is just having compassion because something's not going to be received very well, and it's going to serve no purpose to enter into a discussion with somebody. Again, what is right, I think, really lends to subjectivity in that way.
I agree. And, you know, I was just thinking of a story my dad told me when I was a kid. I don't know, it stuck with me. As to, you know, obviously to this day, I think I've mentioned it before, but he was in New York City. He was young. He was probably 18, 19, 20, somewhere right there. And he and a friend of his were walking down the street one evening, and, you know, they were walking down. Apparently the part of town they were in, Brooklyn, there was a lot of homeless people, and often they would see homeless people drunk, passed out, that sort of a thing. And I guess they saw it so much, it just became routine. Well, they were walking down the sidewalk one evening, and there was a man kind of on the edge of the sidewalk in the gutter, and my dad, you know, he was talking, and he paid no mind to it, and he kept walking along, and he realized his friend wasn't with him anymore, and he looked back, and the friend was helping this older man up, and as they passed, apparently this older man said something. He actually said, "Please help me," but either my dad didn't hear it or ignored it or whatever. But I'll tell you, he learned a huge lesson. Obviously, he was very young, you know, 18, 19, 20, right in there. He was very young, but that lesson stuck with him. And I'll tell you what, you know, as I knew him, he was one of the most compassionate, generous men I'd ever known. I mean, he did things that I'll never know, you know, in terms of helping people and behind the scenes and encouraging people and all that. So he learned that lesson. So, you know, here's an example of do the right thing or the kind thing. Well, you know, you see so many drunks passed out on the sidewalk, you can get callous to that. You don't pay attention anymore. But his friend obviously heard the man and demonstrated a high level of compassion. He did the kind thing.
You know, I think that is a really good point, that we become anesthetized. You know, we really have become kind of numb after a while. If you have seen a lot of stuff in situations where, or fear for that matter, people are afraid to interact, and they're more afraid of what could happen to them than they are about the giving. And it is interesting when the human condition is that when the back is against the wall, how many people come forward and very often considered heroes, running into a burning house, you know, helping lift a car off of somebody, you know, these moments where the adrenaline and the emotion and the intensity is so huge. And doing the right thing. And I really believe that when there is no fear and when we are not anesthetized, when we're tuned in and mindful, we do step up. I believe that. I think that there's obviously a percentage of people who kind of tune out and, you know, they're unaware. But this is what we're trying to do, is raise that vibrational level of humanity. And no matter what other people might think, we have to just live with ourselves at the end of the day and do the right thing, be kind, be compassionate, and extend that, and not need the hero's badge for it either.
And if you're in the habit of doing the right thing and looking for those opportunities, try to, you know, challenge yourself. Try to step it up a notch if you can. And especially it's important when perhaps you're in a situation, somebody may not deserve any compassion, but when you show it, it's screaming a message about who you are. Doesn't mean you let people walk on you. It doesn't mean you don't protect your boundaries. It just means that you behave in such a way that it dignifies and befits you. You know, nobody's more worthy of our own good behavior than us. So
I would like to answer the question in the chat. Are we really numb to those in need, or has the situation changed to one of personal safety? You know, that's a very good question. And absolutely, people are afraid of being sued. They're afraid of being, you know, beaten up. You know, this is where we learn, I think, a little bit of wisdom. If you see like a domestic fight, a man and woman fighting in the middle of a street, the last thing you want to do really is step in to break that up. You would call somebody. The right thing would be to call someone who can deal with that, because I tell you, no good would be served to get between them. And certainly if you're older, as we get older, we're not up for that. But it's not a safe situation. So I think we have to gauge it with some wisdom. But, you know, it's true. We've become a very fearful society. That's what we're trying to change. Yeah, I believe that. I think we are all stepping it up. Should we pick another card?
Before we do, let me just add on to that. I mean, Norm, what he said obviously makes sense. And when my dad had this experience, what was that? You know, it's 1952-ish. So it was a different era. But that brings up a good point. You know, we have to also keep in mind personal safety, but we also want to try to do the right thing. So, you know, you're on a street, you're walking, you see somebody being mugged. Well, can you call 911? You know, you may not be able to get personally involved, but can you help in some way? So
exactly,
those are things to keep in mind. All right,
call the people who have the job. That's their job. Well, I just picked out of the spirituality suit number 25, power of belief. Do you believe that?
Isn't
that amazing?
25.
You know, the power of belief, well, first of all, we are all living our lives based on what we believe. We have a reality. And you know, it's sometimes we're outside of our comfort zones and our realities. But the power of belief, you know, we perpetuate that. In mindfulness, we open our minds to see what it is. It's like see life from another angle. We're still going to live our reality. And we're still going to move forward. But compassion also lends us to seeing life a little bit through somebody else's eyes. And compassion also lends us to the first thoughts on this is also in keeping with our discussion thus far. For instance, walking by somebody who's homeless, not judge that individual. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people believe that, oh, well, if they just get a job, and we don't know. I have heard this quite a bit, and I'm going to share something about myself, and I will stop people right in their tracks when they start ragging on homeless people, I tell you. My mother was a broken spirit. She was an alcoholic and a drug addict and essentially a bag lady for the last few years of her life, and that's how she died. Now, I'm thankful for other people who would help care for her. I couldn't. I mean, I've seen the inside of more rehab centers than you can imagine. I was raising children. It was unsafe for her to be around them, but she had mental illness. Now, what are we to do with mentally ill people when there is no facility, there is no care? We live in a society that has changed so radically, and finances are far more important than human beings. Now, my mother wasn't a mean individual, certainly by choice, unless she couldn't have a drink. But, you know, bless her heart, she was just broken. So what about those broken people? And we walk by them. I know that could very well be and was my mother. So this is where I stand up in these matters, because I believe that every human being has a story. And I stick to that. I have actually had a lot of talks and taking food out in restaurants and stuff, and even said to somebody, come on in, I'll get you some food, because they have a story. And I'm always amazed to hear what extraordinary stories people have. And then at some point, you know, they broke. Something happened. They lost their job. They lost their home. You know, there was a death in the family. They got cancer and lost everything. There are any number of elements to life that affect people where they're broken and they just can't stand up and compete with the society. Because we have a belief in our society that you are supposed to believe in money and you're supposed to believe in being competitive. And if you don't have money, I always say we're renting space down here, because if you don't have money, you don't live. Certainly not very well. So the power of belief, we have to change how we perceive things to have more compassion. That's my little speech.
Good points. And just a couple of final points on this particular card, number 25, power of belief. It's important to understand that, again, I already mentioned it, belief is the most potent force in the universe. It's responsible for all the wars, for our level of success or not. And belief belief and disbelief are basically two sides of the same coin. You cannot disbelieve in something without automatically believing in something else. It's opposite. It is possible to not have a belief in a particular area. This is very much important. I can't talk apparently. It's very important to those who might be doing anomalous research, you know, not to go in with preconceived notions. That's one thing. Another form of disabling belief is denial. In my definition of denial, is lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Lying to oneself to evade responsibility. So ponder your beliefs to see whether they're healthy or unhealthy, whether they're enabling you or disabling you.
and others around you, because mm-hmm. we're in this together. It's, you know, in matters of family and community as well. Because we don't take that into consideration. You know, we're learning about ourselves, but we're interacting with the world. So it goes beyond just me.
All right, so let's pull the next card.
Your turn.
Yep, I'm doing it. And the card is, it's wild card number one, Paradox.
Now that's an interesting symbol to come up right now in the discussion.
It is. Because some of the things we're talking about almost seem like a paradox of sorts. You know, do the kind thing instead of the right thing. Things like that.
If I can actually read this, the description of this from the booklet. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and way of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than what you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. So not all truths lay in common opinions. I think that that's a really important point. Common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered. But it would seem contradictory, but it's not. It's in the power of belief.
You know, I almost mentioned that point when we were talking about belief. You know, sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system, which is essentially what a paradox is. And so that's an important point on paradox. And in fact, that's a great methodology of problem solving. You paradox it. And I call it the 180 approach, you know, the contrarian approach. What would you have to do that would be absolutely stupid to do, the wrong thing to do to solve this problem? And it's an exercise to get you thinking, expand your thinking. Because sometimes what we might perceive as the absolute wrong thing to do is not in reality the wrong thing to do. It's just wrong because of our own limited belief system. And so when we expand our belief system through education, through gaining that knowledge, through improving ourselves, we now find solutions. So if you've got a problem that you can't solve, trust me, there is a solution out there. It's just lying outside of your belief system. So now you've got to do some internal reflection. You've got to think, what are my beliefs about this? Why don't I want to do that? What's holding me back? And then expand it, you know, research it, explore it, and you might just find that solution.
You know, there's a discussion in the chat room that I find really, really fascinating, and I am totally on board. I'm looking at all the different points of view here. It's like, when in danger, you know, would your intuition tell you? And, of course, then, you know, Michael Kelly made a comment that fear creates a false perception sometimes. So what are we following, these, you know, correct intuitions? And I'd like to address that, if I may, in that the more you know yourself and what you're afraid of and your tendencies and what, based on your belief systems, obviously, but again, what are my belief systems? I got to find out. The more you know yourself, the more your intuitions will be accurate. And I totally agree with Michael. Fear creates a false perception. And I'll just give you a little example. I had this tendency when I was younger that if anybody came up behind me and startled me, or, you know, jokingly just put their, you know, arm around my throat, I just panicked and I would get an elbow in the ribs. And I didn't know what was a correct intuitive, oh, this is just fun, or this is like a knee-jerk reaction for danger, danger. So I wasn't accurately measuring danger. So what I did for myself was I went to martial arts training, and I decided that there was that tiny little space in there of an action to a reaction or a response. I wanted to open that up, and I wanted to be more comfortable with myself to be able to read a situation better. And it's just that fraction of a second where something happens, how do I respond? And with some training and getting to know myself, getting confident and comfortable in myself, I took a little exercises and started responding better. So fear had me react to something I thought was danger when it wasn't. So just an example. So I think the more we know who we are, how our tendencies are, what our belief systems are, then we can begin to change that, address it, change it, and become more intuitive.
Good points. All right. Let's take another card. And if anybody would like to have a card pulled, just put your name there, let us know in the chat room, and we'll do that.
Well, I just pulled a card.
Mm-hmm.
It's Greatness to Deliver, number 30.
Which card number? 30.
Number 30, Service to Self and Others. You know, every human being, yeah, we talk about this a lot, and you have it in your program, Dr. Kelly, about the greatness to deliver. Every human being has something extraordinary, you know, but we don't isolate just one thing. It's like, oh, well, I'm just a really good public speaker. You know, we're good at many, many things, that it's like a compilation of talents and characteristics, and, you know, we're just this multidimensional experience, and that in and of itself is the greatness to deliver. I think what people would have a tendency to do is believe, well, my greatness to deliver would be my calling. Like, what is my calling? I'm supposed to do something profound and great and make an impact in the world. And I think the caution there is, what is the reward of that? You know, it's like, to be important in the world, it does kind of intimate a little bit of them esteem. So it's being important in your own greatness is just the people you interact with, I think, on a daily basis. Now, I know you have more to say about that, Dr. Kelly.
Well, I do. And I was looking over some of the thoughts in the book on card number 30. And every one of us has greatness to deliver in some way, which is kind of what Dr. Hunter was saying. You know, it embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and it does not settle for mediocrity. And so, as you listen to this, think about your own greatness to deliver. What is that? You know, in fact, in the book, it asks, and this is a question formulated by Dr. Hunter, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness, if that's the case? And we can deliver greatness in a multitude of ways, doing the kind thing, doing the right thing, doing no harm, not settling for mediocrity. This is something where we have to step up to the plate in our own self-belief. We can do anything we want. And one of the biggest killers here is when we compare ourselves to others and we don't think we measure up. Well, stop that. You can't compare yourself with other people. You're on your path, they're on their path. We all have our gifts, as Dr. Hunter said. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Doesn't matter. Don't settle for mediocrity. If you're going to do something, then do it right. Do it the whole way. Or don't do it. And don't kick yourself for not doing it. I mean, whenever we're going to venture into something, we have to ask, am I willing to do this? Am I willing to invest in this? What am I willing to trade to get this, to achieve this? And if we're not willing, no problem. Don't do it. Don't make a promise you can't keep. Don't feel compelled to do things or to say yes in every instance. If you need to say no, say no. You know, I would love to be able to do that, but I'm afraid I'm just not able to. But thanks for asking. Or I'm just afraid I can't have to say no this time around. Those are nice ways of saying it, and you can do it. And if they pressure you, saying, I understand, I'm afraid I just can't, but thanks. And if they keep pressuring you, say, look, the answer is no, let it go. You know, so those are some practical ways of saying no. And what you do in that process is you maintain your own boundaries, your own integrity, and you are you. So to sum this little thing up here, don't settle for mediocrity. Be the you that you know you can be, and don't settle for less.
Absolutely. So we have Zach. He's got a little thing. He said he's raised his hand. Yes, please, okay. For a card. Raise his hand. Of course, Zach is a teacher, so that's kind of befitting for him to do. Well, there's one that's just standing out here. Oh, life skills number 42 is trust and integrity for you, Zach. Trust and integrity. This is your message for the moment. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. So trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. So I trust that there's a little message in there, or it relates to you in some way, Zach, for anything that's going on in your life today. You know, we all need to be reminded of these things, don't we? So, good one.
Good.
We have Karen also. Okay, Karen. Nice to have you with us, by the way. I have a card for you. Spirit, cosmos, divine energy. It's in the existential suit, number 12. So this is for you, Karen. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with a cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. So I gather there's a little message in there for you. I think that could be an important one. So
yeah, good card.
Anyone else? Did you notice?
Yes, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. All right. I have one. Oh, energy shift, a new chapter. It's existential suit number 14, which is just two up from the last one we read. So I got the book right open to it. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. So I hope that resonates with you, because I think that's a pretty good one myself.
Mm-hmm. And it can even be a confirmation of recent actions too.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and continuing to shift and change is positive.
Anyone else that you noticed? I haven't noticed anyone, but we're going to start wrapping it up. And what I would like to say, again, thanks for joining us, but this is obviously our first week of broadcasting using this medium. And how did it go? You know, is it a good system to use? Was it clear? Right now you should be hearing some music. I'm talking over. Hopefully that's clear and it's not drowning me out.
Right now, we
can't hear it ourselves right now, the way we're set up. Michael can hear it. He's producing this whole thing. He's producing the entire show. This is the first time that he's done that. I mean, we're just sitting here doing nothing but talking. And I'm used to multitasking, doing all these different things. So I'm thankful to have Michael there to do this. And he's sharp. He can make this ship go. So,
well, thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. And I know so many comments that the sound and connections are way better on this format, so we're really glad to do this. And thanks to Dr. Kelly and to Michael, because I have an easy job always, but I'm glad everybody else is doing really well.
So if you have any feedback you'd like to offer for this broadcasting methodology, this approach, you can certainly email me admin@icmhchurch.org. And next week we will have again another program, and we'll have more topics, and we'll put those on the websites here in the next day or so. Again, thanks to everybody for joining us, whether you're joining us live or in the archives. We appreciate your time. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.